Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to have you with us this morning and to just be led in worship by our youth, gifted youth ministry band. Amen? Amen? I'm so blessed by that. I mean, we are seeing the next generation of leaders right before our eyes, and I'm so thankful. And it's not just the ones that were up here, but our entire tech booth in the back is being run this morning by the same students that were up here from the same group. And so it's a blessing to be led by our students this morning. So thankful for that. Let me also just reiterate what Pastor Jason just announced to you. If you're a gal, a woman, and our ladies' study begins Tuesday night. And I know that Carla's been working and Becky have been working. They've been working really hard on messages, and you're going to be blessed by that as you finish up. This is the third year now, ladies, that you've been looking at in the fall, the book of Genesis. And this year, you've come now, fourth year, sorry, Carla's got four up, fourth year, and this year you're coming now to my wife's Bible boyfriend, Joseph. Yeah, so he was better looking than me and far more useful than I am. But you're gonna be blessed by that study, I can promise you. And guys, we'd love to see you on Thursday night, 6:30 here as well, just as we launch our ministry year together and share with you kind of what's in store for the men this coming season. And I'm so excited about that as well. I would be remiss if I would stand up today on the 12th of December without just being mindful of what we all experienced yesterday. And I don't know where you were yesterday, but you could not have been anywhere where you did not hear at least some sort of reminders of September 11th. And if you're old enough in the room to have been alive in 2001, you can know exactly where you were when that time happened. And I would just like to take a moment. I know that we do this on Memorial Day, but I would just like to take a moment. And if you are a person that has served in our armed forces in any way, shape, or form, or you have been a person that has run into harm's way for the sake of others in the first responder type method, I would like you just to stand so we could honor you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, what a difficult day yesterday was to remember the horrific evil that came upon our nation 20 years ago. Now, we've been working our way through our ministry year launch, the beginning of our ministry year, the introductory series, which have entitled All In, discussing what it looks like to be an all-in believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and an all-in church committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've looked at the purpose of the church, both edification and proclamation, and we've looked a little bit at the priority of the church in making disciples who are disciple makers. And this morning, I want us to just focus in on the people of the church, the people of church. Specifically, the ones who have been saved or redeemed by the blood of the Lamb with one purpose, saved to serve. Saved to serve. Useful servants. Now raise your hand if you desire to be useful. You desire to be useful, right? Like, there's not a person in the room that wouldn't raise their hand who didn't want to desire to be useful. So sometimes we don't always know how it is that we can be useful, but something that all of us could agree on this morning is that it is impossible to be useful if we're doing nothing. Correct? It's impossible to be useful if you do nothing. And so I want us to be mindful this morning as we work our way through God's Word and we look at what it means to be a useful follower, an effective, useful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be a useful husband. Men, you want to be a useful husband? Women, you want to be a useful wife? Yeah, but what happens is sometimes we get all mixed up, and we stop being what it is that God's called us to be as a husband and as a wife, and we get the roles mixed up and we get our responsibilities mixed up, and well, it doesn't look so useful anymore. I want to be a useful employee. Any employees in the room? You want to be useful? How about employers in the room? You want to be useful? Employees. It's hard to be useful if you're the last one to show up and the first one to leave and you took a longer lunch than anybody else. You got to be useful. I want to be a useful father. Any fathers in the room? You want to be useful? Useful fathers. It takes intentionality. It takes commitment. It takes prayer. It takes focus. It takes time. Time. You can't give that time to other things or people when it needs to be given to those the Lord has entrusted to you. So we want to be useful. We desire to be useful, but ultimately our greatest desire, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be useful to the Father in heaven. In Revelation chapter 3, we looked at a couple years ago the study of the church of Laodicea. And in Laodicea, Jesus said this. He said, I know your deeds. I know your deeds that they are neither hot nor cold. I would that you were hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, when I grew up, I read that verse and I thought to myself, what does that mean? I always thought, and it was used out of context often, to define this. Hot meant you were on fire for Jesus. Cold meant you were an unbeliever. And lukewarm meant that you were a make-believer, somebody who professed Christ but denied the power thereof in the Word of God. And so a hot believer is all, well, you got to be all in. You got to be hot. You got to be warm. But as you think about that, that doesn't work. Because he says here, he says, I would that you were hot or cold. Well, cold can't be an unbeliever because God wouldn't wish upon his creation that they would not believe. And so how would being cold be something he would wish for? Well, as I studied that text a number of years ago, and as we preached that text here in our church, as we looked at the seven churches of Revelation, I'm reminded of the reality that Laodicea sat high upon a rocky ground about 14 miles in the center of Colossae to the south and Hierapolis to the north. And in the north and in the south, they had hot and they had cold water, but in Laodicea, they only had lukewarm. And cold water was useful for drinking. Warm water was useful for medicinal purposes, but lukewarm water just isn't that good. You know why? Because it's loaded with bacteria. And that bacteria causes all kinds of problems. And those problems aren't great. And let me tell you, they don't have any kaopectate back then, okay? So those problems aren't that great. And so what he's saying is this. You want to be useful, be hot. Be cold. But don't be lukewarm. Lukewarm. Jesus gives the greatest insult of all. He says, I would spit you out of my mouth. You know what he's saying? I want to vomit you. You make me sick. Why? Not because they're lukewarm, because lukewarm is not useful. And we want to be useful in the body of Christ. We don't want to be lukewarm. Oh, to be a useful follower of Christ. Oh, to be a useful church. Oh, to be a body of believers that are committed to stewarding the gifts that the Lord gives and deploying them into the body for the betterment of the body. That's what we should be doing. Did you know that if you're a child of God, and by that I mean you have embraced Jesus Christ by faith, and you have repented of your sin, and you have entrusted your life to His and yielded your spirit unto Him, then God says that He has gifted you with a special, unique gift to deploy into the service to be useful for His glory. You're gifted. You've been gifted. You say, oh, no, Pastor, not me. I'm just a simple believer, and I just love coming to church and singing a few songs along with the youth and just hearing the message and just, you know, going to lunch, and that's kind of it for me. I'm very comfortable with that. No. If you're a believer, you've been gifted with a gift that's to be used in the body of Christ. You say, no, Pastor. I would just kind of rather be a consumer than an effective contributor. Is that your heart? I don't mean this with any disrespect, but I would just challenge you this morning that consumers are lukewarm. Contributors are hot and cold. And God is looking for those that would contribute to the ministry of his body for the glory of his name. Yes, we have been gifted. Yes, you have been gifted. You have been gifted to be a blessing. You have been gifted with a special and unique gift, each one of you, to bless others. Your gift is for me. My gift is for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 said it this way. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it. Use it. Every believer that has been gifted special, specifically, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, after spending 10 verses listing out different varying gifts, he says in verse 11, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. The Spirit of God has gifted you. You're telling me, Pastor, that apart from the reality of the fact that the Spirit of God has ensealed me and dwells me and has given to me as a pledge of the future inheritance that I have in Christ, that I've also been gifted with a special, unique gift to deploy into the ministry of the body? Yes, that's what I'm saying. So how are we doing with that? What are we doing with that? You have a gift. Do you know that gift? Are you exercising that gift? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You want to know why you're gifted? It's not to build you up in any way. Don't get that wrong. It's to build all of us up in every way. So our big idea this morning is simply this. If you have it, use it. If you have it, use it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, deploy the gift the Lord has given you in the body of Christ for his glory. If you have it, use it. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at 5 points this morning. Romans chapter 12, and while you're turning there, I want to thank all of those who have been praying this week and lifting up our brother Roy Leva, who is in the hospital, has been for a number of days, over a week now, with COVID, and it's a rough one. And Brenda and the girls have been feeling your love, and I'm so appreciative of that. And Roy asked me this morning as we were texting together to express to you his thanks for the care for his family and the prayers that you have been lifting up in his name. And he said we will together gather in the sanctuary and worship again one day. So this morning, Romans chapter 12, before we begin there, let me have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your mercies. Your mercies that have given us the motive to be useful for your glory. And God, this morning I pray that we would be faithful stewards of the gifts that you have entrusted to us as we deploy them into the service that you have given us to walk in. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Why don't you stand with me as we read together the word of God in honor of his word? He says this, Romans 12, verse 1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in present to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. May God bless the reading of his word. Go ahead and have a seat. Our first thought this morning comes right out of our text. It says, my usefulness evidences mutability. My usefulness evidences mutability. You say, well, what is mutability, Pastor? Yeah, that's a good question. Mutability is this. Mutability is the quality of being constantly changeable. God is calling us to change. Our goal is to be mutable. There is one that's immutable, right? That's God the Father. He never changes. It's the thing that separates his creation from the creator, right? Creator does not change. The creation is changing. We are calling for a change. And what the apostle here, Paul, is trying to do is it says he's urging them. He's pleading with them. He's encouraging them. He's exhorting them. He's calling them out. He's imploring them. He's begging them. He's saying, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, it's very interesting, you know, therefore, we find here a point back to the previous 11 chapters of Romans. And in classic Pauline style, he laid out 11 chapters, which are chock full of doctrine, and then he's going to tell us then, therefore, how we're to live as a result of all the doctrine. What is our duty as a follower of Jesus Christ? And so he's like, okay, therefore, because of all the things that we've laid out in the first 11 chapters, here's your duty. Information ought to bring about transformation. But why? He says, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God ought to provide for us the motivation for life. Doctrine that leads to duty. Information that leads to transformation. Do you know what the mercies of God are in your life? Have you experienced those? I hope so. I pray you have. First mercy of God is found in chapter 1, verse 16. And he says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel, salvation, that is the mercy of God. If you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you understand that fully. That you don't deserve it. There's nothing you could do to earn it. It has been granted unto you by faith. That even that was a gift from our gracious God because of his great mercy with which he loved us. Mercy. We see it in chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience and knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Repentance. It is a mercy gift of God. We see it in chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law, but just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Your justification is, again, a mercy gift of God. We see it in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven. Forgiveness. What a gift. He says, and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. We see it in reconciliation in chapter 5, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Are you starting to see and experience the mercies of God? We see it in chapter 8, verse 9. When talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. We have seen the mercies of God throughout chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We see it in faith 30 times mentioned in the first 11 verses or 11 chapters. Peace, hope, righteousness, mercy. So now, Therefore, chapter 12. Therefore, let me just ask you, do you need any other motivating factor? Do you? I don't think so. You know, sometimes we need motivation by fear, right? Sometimes we need motivation by fear, but God's not doing that here. He's motivated us by his mercy, by his great mercies that they've been poured out upon us over and over and over and over. And he's reminded us of his mercy. And he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. To present a once and for all presentation, as if a husband and a wife on their wedding day, a bride and a groom, it is their presentation to each other, a once and all presentation. That's what the word means. It is a command. And nobody is exempt from it. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not exempt from presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I was thinking back in the Old Testament, what was an example of one that did that? And I thought of Genesis chapter 22, where Isaac willingly placed himself on the altar as a living sacrifice. And God did what? God said, you know something? Don't worry about that. I'm going to pull you off that. I'm going to supply something to put on there as an offering instead of you. But what Isaac did is he was willing. He willingly offered himself. He presented himself onto the altar as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And so what he effectively was doing, he was dying to self. So my question to you this morning, are you presenting yourself unto God as a holy, living sacrifice by dying to self? Because that's what the Bible is encouraging us to do. We're dying to self. We're putting self off so that he might be glorified. Presenting our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. This, of course, makes the simple assumption that any person who is willing to offer themselves as a living and a holy sacrifice has already offered their lives and their souls to the Lord. Well, how do you do that? He says this. He says, not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, verse 2, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So what does it look like to be conformed to something? Any skiers in the room? Like, I love to ski, and Colorado may be my favorite place in North America. And we, as a family, have been going out to the Beaver Creek area for almost 30 years. And I love skiing, probably won't do it anymore with my back, but I still love it. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world to visit and to go and enjoy the slopes of the Rocky Mountains. And here's the thing that happens when you go to Colorado. You land on the ground in Colorado, and you start spending a couple hours there, and what happens is you start going upstairs, and it's like, right? You can't breathe. Why? Because the air is too thin, and you start experiencing altitude sickness symptoms, like shortness of breath. You can't sleep for the first several nights. You're not real hungry. You get nauseous. All of these things, but guess what happens? This amazing thing happens. You begin to acclimate to that. You begin to conform to that. And within 3-4 days, guess what? You're just moving along fine. You're breathing fine. You're eating fine. You're sleeping well. There's no issue. You have conformed to the spirit of Colorado. Right? That's what he means. Be not conformed to the spirit of this age. Listen, the spirit of this age is wicked. It is antichrist. It is against God. And it is seeking to destroy anything that you hold dear based out of the word of God. That is the spirit of our age. And it is rampant. It is rampant. It is worse than I've ever seen it. And we will not be conformed to it in this church. We will not be conformed to it in this church. I promise you, as long as the Lord gives us breath. But we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know what transformation is? It's the idea that there's this metamorphosis. It's this change. It is the mutability that we talked about. You need to be mutable. You need to be changing. It's that caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly, right? I always wanted to see that moment. I never found one that actually did it right in that moment. I was always looking at this stupid little, you know, fold up thing, and then it was kind of frozen. And then I'd watch it, and I'd go away, and it'd come out. Always missed that beautiful moment of transformation. But the disciples never missed it. Some of the disciples didn't miss the transformation, the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Same word in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, when they saw him transfigured, this change that took place. So you have a gift. If you have it, use it. Second point we want to look at this morning is this. My usefulness requires humility. Look at verse 3. It says, For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So the points are going to come rapidly here now. But let me just say this. What I'm driving at this morning is we're going to try to get you out of here in about 20 minutes so that you have about 20 minutes of time where the kids are cared for and they're being ministered to go into the lobby and to have an opportunity to hear about some of the needs in our body. And so you don't think I bait and switched you. I'm just putting it out there right now, all right? Like, we're trying to see, are you willing to be useful in this body of Christ, to be used as a servant in some way, shape, and form? So Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he said, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. And so I'm doing nothing more than Paul did to Timothy with you right now. I'm kindling afresh the gift that's in you, and I'm asking you to stir that up for a minute and consider how you might employ that in the use of the glory of God in this body. Got it? Just so you don't think we get to the end of the message and you're like, man, he just totally freaked me out and fooled me, and he only had one purpose. No. The purpose is I'm trying to get you to recognize your giftedness so that you can use that to deploy it into this body and serve this body. Okay? That's where we're going. So my usefulness requires humility. Humility. See, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is not looking for those that are trying to build themselves up. I so appreciate Pastor Robert, who in the back here this morning with all the students, he said, listen, you're going to go out this morning onto the stage and you're going to have an opportunity to lead the adults in worship. But before you do, recognize this is not about you. This is an opportunity to lift high the name of Jesus Christ and exalt his name. And so get your heart right before you step out into that role, because this isn't about you. We're not trying to build you up in any way, shape, or form. We're trying to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whatever gift you have, use it. But as you use it, recognize it is not for your glory, it is for his glory. And it is not for your good, it is for the body's good. That's why he's gifted you. He is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 says this, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Listen, there is no room for superiority in the body of Christ. Nobody's gift is more superior than anybody else's gift. It just so happens that you have the opportunity to use your gift to edify one another. But the problem is that we begin to cherish exaggerated ideas of our own importance. You ever do that? You start to cherish exaggerated ideas of your own importance. You start to build yourself up in the mind. And that's not a good space to walk in. It's not a place to live in. And so let me show you a few examples of people who think they're superior in service. First, when we believe that we know more doctrine than anybody else in the group. Big deal. Like, what are you doing with it, bro? Number two, when we flash our degree card. Well, man, I went to seminary here, and I got my doctorate there, and I did that. Who cares? How's that affecting the way you live? How's that affecting the way you're influencing others? Number three, when we claim longevity in Christ. Man, I've been saved for 49 years, and you would not believe 48 and a half of those, I've done nothing. I'm a Sunday saint, baby. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Not much going. Not much going. But I've been saved 49 years. When we brag about our service, you know, one of the greater concerns I have for many pastors, and pastors often get together, and when they get together, the number one question is, how many people in your church? What a shame. Who cares how many people are in your church? Let me ask you this question. It's far more relevant. The people in your church, are they fired up for Jesus Christ, and are they making a difference in their families and in their communities for the glory of his name? That's what I want to know. And I'm praying the people at the Grove are doing that. And we have witnessed that. We're experiencing that in your lives. I'm so thankful for that. Let another man's lips praise you, the scripture says. Don't praise yourself. There's a fifth. When we flaunt our giving of resources. Well, I did this. I gave that. Really? Who gave it to you? So no man is superior. But in the same light, no man is inferior either. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15 and 16, it says this, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. Is it not for this reason any the less part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am an eye, I am not part of the body. It is not for this reason any less part of the body. First of all, we got a talking foot and we got a talking ear. These guys need counseling. All right? These people need counseling. Because they don't recognize the reality that they've been gifted, and they've been gifted with a proper use for the body. You don't get very far without your foot. If you cut the foot off, life changes a little bit. It does. So nobody's inferior. Nobody's superior. Nobody's inferior. Maybe you're here this morning, you're feeling a little bit inferior. You're feeling like, you know what, I'm not sure I have a gift, and I'm not sure I can really deploy that in the body because I'm really not sure I know how to use it, and I'm not sure. These are five things we talk to ourselves about when we feel inferior. Number one, we say, I didn't grow up in the church. So what? If you've embraced Jesus Christ by faith, and you've repented of your sin, and he's your Savior, the Bible says he's gifted you with gifts to deploy into the body for service. Number two, well, I lack biblical wisdom. That's okay. You're probably not going to be teaching for a while. That's all right. Number three, but I don't have the lingo. I don't understand what everybody's saying about this or that, and there's all this church lingo, and I don't have that. Well, then get around people who do and start learning. You know, I remember, Carla, somebody said, I don't really know too much about the Bible. Well, then teach Sunday school. You know why? Because when you have to teach little threes and fours and fives and six, the Word of God, you got to first look at the Word of God. You got to learn the Word of God so you can tell them something that's important in a clear way. That's how you learn. How about this? I'm embarrassed about my past. I don't think there's a person in this room that has a clear past. You were born a sinner. You were born by nature a child of wrath. So it doesn't matter how bad you were. If God has redeemed you and brought you back, he can use you because he's gifted you for it. There's a third thing we want to look at, and that is my usefulness promotes unity. Look at verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And I would just say this, where humility is, unity resides. They build on each other. Where humility is, unity resides. And I promise you, if you get a people that are humble, they can accomplish unity very easily. What happens is when humility goes away, unity is destroyed. It's not happening anymore. And God is calling us to be humble, but be united. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, Make my joy complete. How? How, Paul? By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's unity. Same mind, united in spirit, intent on one purpose with the same love. That's unity. That's what God is calling the body of Christ to, unity. And you know what he says in verse 5? He says unity produces mutuality. Look what he says in verse 5 at the end. And individually members one of another. You know what that means? That means you are not for yourself. No man is an island. You know who lives on islands? Islands. You know who lives on islands? Selfish. That's who lives on islands, okay? And so get off of the island and get into the game. That's what God's calling us to, in the spirit of humility, so that we might have unity for the cause of Christ. And then there'll be a mutuality to our service one with another. Then you will begin to see. This is why I love our small group ministry. And so many people say, well, I want to go to another Bible study. Hey, listen, we're studying God's word. We're not ignoring God's word. But we're applying those truths, and then we're doing it with mutuality. We're doing it one with another, as verse 5 tells us to. That's the exact verse that we're trying to get after in small groups. With mutuality, one with another, that gift that God has given you is to be deployed one with another. Now, if the body of the Grove identified themselves in the working out of the body life by telling about all the things that they did, by expressing all the stuff that they have done, by expressing all the things that they do, or by just continuing to drive more and more knowledge down your throat, then I would say we would not be a church that's an all-in church, not getting after it the way that God has directed us to in his text. But if, on the other hand, we see ourselves as sinners saved by the grace of God, we have a new identity in Christ, and there is nothing. We begin to realize that there's not any works, there's no deeds, there's nothing that has attracted the love of Christ on our soul apart from his grace. Not any effort of pursuit, not any dues, not any earning. You cannot earn the favor of God, rather it is a gift of God. And if we humbly recognize that, and we are been granted unto Christ as a gift, you know, I know what happens. Out of gratitude, we start living the way that this text says, by putting one another as more important than ourselves and looking at the ways that we can be united in purpose. And then what happens? Look out, Winter Garden. Look out, Hamlin Community, because that is when it's going to get exciting in this place. Because I promise you, people, when they are sold out to Jesus Christ and they are all in to Jesus Christ in the service of this body, when folks who are either in Christ or out of Christ walk into this place as a visitor for the first time, and some of you here this morning, we welcome you, you will sense that God is at work in this community of faith, because we are fired up about Jesus and his word. And we believe that God has the capacity to change your heart to be the same. And so let's get after it together. Why are we holding back? I promise you, they will see it. They will see it. Because I hear it week in and week out. So many people say, man, I visited your church, pastor, and people just love Jesus there. People are so warm. Thank God. Because that's why we're doing what we're doing. Otherwise, who needs it? Right? God at work, that's what we're after. So let me ask you, do you have an identity in Christ? Do you have an identity in Christ? Have you come to a place in your life where you've recognized Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you understand that you are valued, that you are loved, that you have a purpose, that you have an identity? You are valued, you have an identity, and you have a purpose. You are a VIP in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 43 says this, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you." If you ever are trying to figure out what life's all about and if there's a purpose in life or what you need, what right here, Isaiah 43, 4 says, you are precious in God's sight, you are honored, and he loves you. And all he's saying is, hey, yield your spirit to mine. Jesus Christ is Lord. Repent of your sins Embrace him by faith and yield your spirit to his spirit and allow him to take over the lordship of your life. And you'll have an identity that changes because now you have a meaning for life. There's a fourth thought. My usefulness complements diversity. My usefulness complements diversity. Look at verse 6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, stop there. What does that say? It says your gift is differing from my gift. We have gifts that differ. Now, I was going to bring a blender in this morning, and I was going to have, like, you know, a banana and some peanut butter and some juice and different elements and stir it all up, and then I was going to drink the smoothie and make you all feel jealous. But that would have been an example of what I'm talking about. It's like we're blended together all to make something sweet and wonderful. We saw it this morning. We see it every week. When the gifted musicians and the gifted technicians gather in this place week in and week out, and they blend themselves together for the glory of God, leading us to the throne of grace in worship. Now, they do it in humility, because have you ever met an electric guitar person that didn't think their thing wasn't lifted high enough in the mix? No, I'm not trying to rip any of our electric guitar people. I love y'all. I mean, vocalists do the same. Lift me up. Get me higher in the mix. Right? The truth is, the person who controls the mix sits back there. And it's no different than the Spirit of God who has equipped and gifted each of us. He controls the mix. Why? For his glory. It's not for yours. So our usefulness complements diversity. This week we gathered in his room as a staff. And we spent maybe a half hour just walking around this room, praying over these chairs, asking God that he would raise up. We know that the harvest is plentiful. We know that the harvest is ready, but we also know that the workers are few. And we walked these chairs and we got on our knees and we prayed that God would raise up workers to go off into his harvest here in this community of faith, that his name would be exalted, that this community be turned upside down, that the glory of Christ would reign and rule. That's what we did this week, and we are praying that even this morning. Truth is, as you look around, you can see there's not many empty seats in this room this morning. And we're challenged, and that's a great thing. And our desire would be to fill this room until we have to go into two services. And when we have to go into two services, it even requires more servants. And so until we feel comfortable, until we think we are equipped there, we can't move that direction. And if you're occupying a seat, and I don't mean this to be rude, but if you're occupying a seat and you have no desire ever, hey, take as long as you want, but if you have no desire ever to employ your giftedness into this body, then maybe go sit in another church. I'm not trying to send you off. I'm just trying to encourage you that you should be useful in the body of Christ. You don't want to be lukewarm. There's a fifth thing we want to look at. My usefulness exercises gifts accordingly. My usefulness exercises gifts accordingly. Look at verse 6. Let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion of his faith. If service, in his service. If teaching, in his teaching. If he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Again, 1 Peter chapter 4:10, it says this. 1 Peter 4:10, I want you to see this. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. If you have it, use it. That's our big idea this morning. Employ it. How? In serving one another. Why? Because that's a good steward of the manifold grace of God in your life. And I believe at the end of the age, at the end of the day, when we come face to face with God Almighty, God is going to look at us and he is going to accept the sacrifice of his son, the blood of Christ that will cover you, to cover all of your sin. And then he's going to transfer off and say, now what did you do with what I entrusted to you? First of which was your spouse, second of which was your kids, and third of which is your gifts. And what are you going to do with it? And how are you going to answer those questions? Or are you going to be caught lukewarm in the moment? Now, we see three types of gifts in the scriptures. We see sign gifts. We looked a little bit at that last week. Sign gifts were pointing towards something else, unique to what I believe the New Testament apostolic age, to authenticate for one reason the apostles as to being known and used of God. In fact, if we were to go and look at 1 Corinthians 12, which lists a number of gifts, there's about four passages in the New Testament that lists gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 2 and 4, the passage we're hearing in Romans, and again in 1 Peter. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a series of sign gifts that are listed. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was written sometime around 54 A.D., in Romans was written in 58 AD. We have zero sign gifts listed in Romans. Ephesians was written in 61. There are zero sign gifts listed in Ephesians. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 was written in 63 AD, and there are zero sign gifts given. I think it might be an indication as the church grew and as the church saw the giftedness by the Holy Spirit in the community of faith that the sign gifts were no longer needed. And God was weeding those out. Now, we know that there are sign gifts in the end because God has already told us of some of the signs for the end of the age. So if you have a gift, use it. What kind of gifts do we have in here? Romans chapter 12, we have prophecy. Prophecy is to speak before men. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, he says it this way. He says, but one who prophesies speaks to men for what? For edification and exhortation and consultation. That's the purpose of prophecy. Edification, consultation, that's what the purpose is. Speaking forth the truth. Teaching. Teaching is another gift. It is a speaking gift. These are speaking gifts, prophecy and teaching. Teaching is the one thing that separates elders from any other office in the context of the scripture. They have an aptitude to teach. Everything else is the same. Exhorting. It is exhorting. That is a gift of encouragement. That is calling you to something, to right living. It is calling you to something. Those are the speaking gifts that we see. Then we have serving gifts. We have serving. Serving is a Greek word, diakon, which is where we get deacon from. We, as a church, have not placed the title or office of deacon on anyone at this point, but I would just tell you that we have many deacons in this body because we have many people serving. And that's really what it means. It literally means those who wait tables. Service deployed in the body. We have giving. Giving is mentioned here. He says, when you do so liberally, with liberality. Giving, you say, well, that's not my gift, right? That may not be your gift in this sense here, but we're all called to be faithful stewards of the treasures that he's entrusted to us. But those, there are some that have a unique gift of giving, and they do so with liberality. That means single-mindedness, not with duplicity. Leading, that's a serving gift. That means you're a good organizer. That means you can lead, direct, bring vision. Mercy. Mercy. So many of you are so gifted at mercy. I don't really have a great gift of mercy, but so many of you are gifted at mercy. You're able to be kind. You're able to encourage. You're able to be there and meet needs of people. So if you have it, use it. That's what we're after this morning. You say, well, how? People come to me all the time. They say, well, my spiritual gift, Pastor, is this. Well, stop right there. Let's stop right there. What's wrong with that sentence? My, exactly. It is not yours. It is the gift that has been granted unto you by the Holy Spirit. So why don't you just start your sentence off by, hey, Pastor, the Holy Spirit has gifted me in this way, and I love using this gift in the body of Christ. Right? That's a spiritual gift. My gift might just be your desired gift, but it might not be the given gift. And so I would say, let's find the given gift, and to start serving is the best way to find what the given gift is. Just get in involved. Roll up your sleeves. Start to serve. See where you find joy. See where there is an affirmation from others that you're serving. See where there's evidence of fruitfulness And then just say yes when asked to do something. And just see how that leads. So, I would ask you this morning, have you been lukewarm in your service? Today's an opportunity to change that. Today's an opportunity for us to deploy our service, our giftedness, into this body for the greater good of one another. May God help us. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity to spend the next 17, 18 minutes out in the lobby. We're exposing you to some of the needs in our church. And if there's a desire in your heart to roll up your sleeves and to get involved or to find out more as to how you can do that, avail yourself to that. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your truth. We're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful, God, for the gifts that you have given to us in Christ by the power of your Spirit. And God, we desire to be faithful servants who are useful with that gift. And so, God, I pray that you have stirred up and rekindled afresh our desire to use the gift that you have placed within us for your glory. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. And God, I pray for our brother, Roy. I pray, Father God, that you would just bring healing to his body, that you would restore him, that you would raise him up out of that hospital bed, that you would allow his lungs to function the way that, God, you have created them to do, that you would bring healing, that he would have the privilege and the opportunity to leave that hospital and to come be with his wife and his two girls and to explain the goodness of the Lord to them in a greater way. And then to deploy the giftedness he already is using week in and week out in this body, and we're so thankful for it. Have your way, Lord, according to your plan and purpose, and glorify yourself in the process, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.